Hello, welcome to Outside In. I'm John Burns, and I've got a guest with me today. I've got Vladimir McTavish.
G'day. Hi, John. How are you?
I'm well as can be. This virus has put a bit of a damper on things, to be honest. But apart from that, I'm fine, you know. What about yourself?
I'm good. I am recently back from Australia. I kind of made it back just a few days before lockdown.
Right, they missed you then.
Yeah, I was out. I was out at Adelaide Fringe. Left. I was one of the lucky ones because a lot of the guys I was working out there with were meant to go on to do the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
Oh yes, yes.
Which was then cancelled at like a week's notice, and so a whole lot of comedians were out in Australia, had, you know, return flights a month hence, and, you know, had paid for Airbnbs and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I was lucky. I came back on my scheduled flight, which was great, and was very relieved to get on the Edinburgh flight at Doha, flying Qatar Airways. And I wouldn't have minded being stuck in Adelaide.
I should think there are worse places you could be stuck in, aren't there?
Nice city. I've got a lot of friends there. What my real fear was, I might have got marooned in Qatar.
Yeah, that would be a different ballgame, wouldn't it?
Yeah, totally.
So have you been getting out much in this lockdown, keeping fit or walking?
I have been. Yeah, it's one of the things that's kind of keeping me halfway sane, because making my living as I do as a stand-up comedian, it's been, well, there is no work because
nothing. It's just stopped, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, I've done the odd online thing, done a few podcasts, done a couple of virtual gigs. But yes, obviously, you know, my bread and butter is earned in comedy clubs and pubs and theatres, and they've all shut.
Well, just stopped completely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So what's keeping me sane is going out for a run every day. And I'm very fortunate. I stay in North Edinburgh. I'm very near the Water of Leith. I'm near Inverleith Park. So I've got, you know, a lot of very nice running routes on my doorstep, more or less. And there's an old railway line behind my house, or a couple of blocks behind my house, which is being converted into a cycle path. So that's, you know, I'm getting out and getting a lot of fresh air. In fact, if anything, I'm possibly fitter than I was before.
So you've not been not spending lots of hours in dark cellars.
Dark cellars, laugh, on motorways, on trains, you know.
There's a massive amount of travelling in your job, isn't there?
Yeah, there certainly is. And so because of that, I'm doing stuff I don't normally do.
What sort of stuff?
Doing quite a lot of gardening.
Good God, really?
Yeah, gardening. Painted a shed.
Oh well, you painted it. I mean, that's an achievement itself. Painting a shed, isn't it?
Baking bread.
Good God.
Yeah, and I am threatening, and I have been for about a week now. I'm planning on cutting my own hair.
Oh, that sounds. We're going a bit far. That is it.
Yeah. I'm planning to do it online. I think I'll do it live on Facebook.
Oh right. Okay.
Without a mirror.
Then maybe you could get direction from people online, you know?
Yeah. More off the left. Nah, not some of the people I know.
No, I suppose that's right. Yeah. That was a bit rash thinking about it.
But the great thing about it is, if I make an utter pig's ear of it, it doesn't matter. Because I'm stuck in the house at least for 3 weeks more. So, and until they bring in regulations banning hats, then I'll be fine.
Well, that's probably around the corner, I should imagine.
I'm guessing the only worry is I might go too far and end up having to go to A&E. And they're kind of a bit more occupied with more deserving cases right now than some oaf trying to cut their own hair.
Yeah, it's taking the top of his ear off. Yeah. That is the. Of course, haircuts are not something I have to worry about, really.
Of course, yes.
being as I'm bald as an egg, you know. Yeah, I'm sort of forced to, obviously with the lockdown, you know, I can't go to the bothies and stuff like I used to, or up the hills, so I can see them from where I live, yeah. But I can't walk in them, you know.
So because obviously where you are in Inverness, you've got so much nice walking around you. I mean, how far can you go? I mean, are you kind of constrained by you've got to walk to where you're going to?
I'm taking it. I mean, you know, it'd be very tempting to jump in the car and drive 15 minutes and go for a walk.
Yeah.
But I'm sort of taking it very literally that you shouldn't drive to go for a walk. What I am doing, to be quite honest, so I'm kind of, if I walked, I'm sort of limited bit to the sort of city of Inverness, which is not, you know, if you're used to walking in the hills, I find walking in towns a bit boring, to be honest. But yeah. What I've been doing recently, I've got my old bike out the shed, you know, and I've pumped up the tyres, and in 3 or 4 miles you can cycle out into the countryside, and that's really nice, you know. That's a great thing to do. So I've been doing that.
It's weird, isn't it? This has probably been, I think, one of the weather-wise best springs we've had for several years, isn't it? But,
I mean, I'm sure that was planned. The one bloody spring that we get that's good, you can't go out, you know?
Yeah. Although, having said that, at least we can go out for exercise. And imagine if it was like pissing rain all the time, and imagine this had been like 2 months earlier, it would have been grim.
Yeah. Well, it's slightly more grim than it is now. That's right. Yeah, exactly. I kind of imagine. I was Johnny thinking, you did a tour of the Highlands once, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
You've done several tours. With Martin Moore, is that right?
Sorry? It's the first time I met you.
That's right. That was a bit of a disaster from that point of view. But apart from that,
Now that was several years ago. Now I have a feeling.
10 years ago. Go on.
More than that, I think it was 2003.
Oh wow! Oh my god!
Yeah. 2003, and we first night of the tour was in Edmonton.
That's right.
I think that's right. You came along and asked if you could do a spot, and they said, "Yeah, of course." And then I think you did a couple of spots on the tour. Did you do Ullapool? And
I don't think I did Ullapool. I think we did East Grange Loft.
East Grange Loft, yes, in between.
And I think we did, probably the best one was Eden Court, I think.
Eden Court, yes. Yeah, of course.
They set up a wee, which is, of course, closed again. But they set up a little, like, made a kind of comedy club in one of the sort of foyers, if you remember.
That's right. Yeah. That was a really good setup. In fact, that I think is the best gig I've ever done at Eden Court, because
yes,
quite often they were trying to put comedy on in the One Touch, and it's just a bit too big.
It's dead. It's dead. I don't think comedy really suits theatres very much.
It suits bigger theatres. It is a bigger show, but if it's a kind of club type show, you kind of want them more cabaret seating and near the stage and more intimate surroundings.
Yeah, yeah. Did you play, have you ever played the Ironworks? You must have done something.
I have, yeah.
I think that's not a great, it's a great cavernous place and it just loses you.
Yeah, yeah. It's,
you know,
it's
not criticizing the place. It's a music venue, which is fair enough. It's a great music venue.
I can imagine it's a great music venue. The ceiling's too high.
Yeah.
For a comedy.
Yeah, that's right. You need people to be squeezed in, basically, don't you?
Mm.
Crushed almost.
Yeah.
Then we did, I can't remember, was it the Crown Hotel or something? We got about 5 people on a wet Friday afternoon.
I do remember that, yeah.
It wasn't our finest hour, that was it, really?
I do remember that, that's right. Yeah, that was, a handful of people.
That's right. Oh, of course.
Not to forget,
of course, upstairs in Hootenanny.
Hootenanny, of course, yeah.
It loads there. What was the Bothy Bar? Bothy Bar in Hootenanny.
Right, yeah.
That was hard going.
Well, it was hard going because you had to do the show on your own.
Yeah.
And there was inevitably a very loud band in the bar.
That's right.
And then they decided they'd try and stagger the time
That's right.
They try and stagger the start time so that the comedy went on before the band, but what they didn't do was tell the band they couldn't have a sound check.
That's right.
And actually, the sound check was more disruptive than the live show.
That's right, that's right. I remember there was one night you were on there. Do you remember when the fire alarm went off right in the middle of your sketch, your set?
Oh, yeah, I think I do.
And it was so noisy. I don't think you heard it. You just carried on. Do you remember that?
I think I do remember that, yeah. I've had a couple of fire alarms gone. I was doing a gig in Sheffield a few years ago. They run The Last Laugh, is the name of the comedy club, which
is
run.
Whereabouts is that? I know Sheffield. So it's quite a few listeners know Sheffield too.
It's Memorial Hall, which is at the back of the City Hall. It's all one
complex. Yeah.
And the City Hall shares a stage door with the Memorial Hall. Obviously, the Memorial Hall's at the back of the building. They share a stage door and they share a fire alarm.
Right.
And inevitably, on Friday, Saturday night, there's a big gig in the City Hall, as well as a comedy show in the back room. And McFly were doing a gig.
Okay. And
their smoke machine set off the fire alarm.
Oh, God. It didn't set off the sprinklers, did it?
Not in our bit. I mean, you might have done it on the main stage. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, of course. This we were doing comedy years ago in Inverness when it was like people weren't really used to stand up. They thought they thought basically banter was what it was about.
That's right,
and
yeah,
so you got heckled. You got heckled mercilessly. But I tell you what, this year, of course, this is the first year, well, in my memory, that the Fringe has been cancelled.
That's right. Well, it's been cancelled, but might still happen in some form, they're saying. Well, basically what the Fringe have said is they've cancelled the Fringe,
right?
But they can't stop people putting shows on because, you know, it's a free access festival. And so what they've said is if circumstances permit and people are putting shows on in August, then they will provide the ticketing systems and the website.
Oh, so it's not totally written off then. I thought
it was.
Not
totally written off. It's not going to be, obviously, in the same shape.
It's like what it was.
I think the reason they took the decision so early is mainly because so many people come from abroad and come from London.
Yeah.
That they were having to make travel arrangements or, more importantly, accommodation arrangements.
Yes.
So it'll
save a lot of people a lot of money now, because a lot of people lose a lot of money at the Fringe, don't they?
Yeah, and there's a lot of unscrupulous letting agencies are going to take a bit of a hit. What a shame.
Yes, that's right. A couple of grand a night, you know. some of the flats are incredible. I remember performing my Crowley play.
I love that. That was great.
That masterpiece of modern drama, you know. And I was performing that in a venue, and I looked down and there was a stream of straw-coloured liquid pouring out across the stage from where the audience sat. And I thought somebody pissed themselves, you know.
Yeah.
Not that I was that funny. But it transpired someone had knocked over a pint of lager.
All right.
Which is pretty much the same thing, really.
Yeah,
but there you go. So you must have some pretty good anecdotes of the Fringe disasters, have you?
Oh, yeah. Many. That's the thing about the Fringe is your numbers can fluctuate a lot.
Yeah.
I did in the last couple of years. This is the annoying thing from my point of view. The last couple of years, I've done very well. I've had my two best years, so it's a bit of a bugger not having this year.
Which venue would you have gone for this year, then? Do you think?
I was due to be in the same room at the same time as.
Is that the Assembly Rooms?
No, the Newtown Theatre, which is
next
block to the Assembly Rooms. It's a venue run by the Stand.
Okay.
Right, the rest of the year it's a Masonic Hall, and they had a beautiful little studio space in there that's 70 capacity. And
that would be great.
So I did that the last 2 years. That is definitely not going to happen this year, whatever happens.
Okay.
But I had been booked in for it. But there's always 2021. When was it? 2017. I had on a Sunday night. I sold out on the Saturday.
Right.
And the Sunday night, I had two people in the audience who'd tried to actually get into the Saturday show, but they couldn't because it was sold out.
Yeah, yeah.
And, we waited around, and then it looked like they were the audience. I said, look, it looks like you're the audience. Doesn't look like anyone else is going to turn up. And they said, oh, that's a shame. We tried to get in last night, but we couldn't because you were sold out. And, and then we saw you last year, and it was very busy. And there's only two of us tonight. And I go, don't rub it in. And I said, look, go to the box office. I'll come with you. We'll just swap your tickets for another night. I mean, because it's going to be a bit difficult. This is me and you two.
Yes.
And then it transpired that actually, although they were Scottish, they actually lived in London, and they were flying home the next day. So I just did the show. And it was a bit weird, but no, it was good.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They really enjoyed it. And at the end, one of them bought one of my DVDs.
Oh well, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. And that's my highest ever per capita DVD sale.
50% of the audience bought your DVD.
50% DVD. Yeah.
I was remembering. It must be over 10 years ago now. But do you remember there was one Fringe where it absolutely poured down?
Oh, yeah.
And there was that one where loads of people were in, the sort of level of gig I tend to be playing. It tends to be subterranean, really. Yeah. And all the underground places, they all flooded. Do you remember that?
Oh, God, yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
I mean, in one way, it was great because if you happened to have a venue that was above ground and it was dry, people just came in to get dry. They didn't give a damn about the show, you know.
Yep, get dry and steam the place out.
That's right. So it's a shame in a way that, you know, the Fringe is not taking. Well, it's more than a shame, really, because it's a fantastic, fantastic event, isn't it?
Yeah, there's so much been cancelled. I mean, Glasgow Comedy Festival, pretty much all of that was cancelled.
Oh, yes. Because that's March, isn't it?
Yep. I think the first weekend happened.
Right.
Then after that, I think the big shows got cancelled and then everything got cancelled. And then halfway through the festival, the whole lockdown was imposed.
It's not just, I mean, obviously it's having an effect up here, because like Edinburgh, where you live, obviously, it's a massive tourist town, isn't it?
Totally.
And the whole of the Highlands also, up here, relies on tourism, which is just, like your work, has just stopped.
Well, I think one of the things we kind of overlook is how much everywhere relies on a certain amount of tourism.
Yes, that's right.
But yeah, especially somewhere like Inverness. I mean, it's so much of the driver of the local economy, and Edinburgh too.
Yeah, I mean, people living here, we sometimes moan about tourists, but without them, we're in dire straits. You know.
Totally.
Were saying you've resorted, I think, to doing. You've done some good gigs online at the moment. Is there any? Have you got any coming up that people could see?
There's some stuff coming up. I did one at the Stand, I think the first weekend of the lockdown. Where it was actually before the total lockdown.
Is there anywhere? I don't even know. You must have a website, presumably, do you?
I am rebuilding my website as we speak.
Okay.
But I've got a Facebook page.
What I'm angling for is to try and say, is that a good place where people could go to find out about your shows and
well, I can tell you about my shows right now if you want.
Oh, go ahead. There aren't any. I was hoping for two or three minutes programming there.
Stuff online. Yeah. You can see me doing Comedy Underground on BBC Scotland channel.
Okay. There's also your haircut, not to mention that.
My haircut. There's a spot that I did at the Monkey Barrel Comedy back in January, which was put out last night as a webcast. That's going to be on my Facebook page next week. I don't actually have the footage yet.
Right, so that's on Vladimir McTavish, yeah?
Vlad McTavish Comedy. That's the name of the page.
Right, that's great. So people can go and see you there. Yeah. And I haven't seen your act for it. I sort of gave up on stand-up because it was just too far to go to get stand-up, you know?
Mm.
But I'm happy to say, though, that there's quite a good stand-up scene generated in Inverness. It's died a death now, obviously, but
yeah.
I'm hoping like all the comedy gigs, you know, they rise from the dead, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of times I've been up to Inverness, I've been very impressed by the local acts.
Yeah, yeah, great.
There's some great ones, yeah. And, of course, you were... Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're still there. You were meant to be having a comedy festival next month.
Is that right? I didn't even know about that. That's
well publicised, it obviously was. Ivy won. I was booked for two nights.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, hopefully that'll make a resurgence anyway, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, we started out talking about the outdoors and running, and we wound up reminiscing about about various gigs before we've both done.
Yeah.
So that was very enjoyable. Nice to speak to you. And let's hope that you're back on stage soon and selling out venues like you do.
Me too, mate.
Okay, thanks very much.
Absolute joy talking to you, and love the book, by the way.
Oh, did you? Great. The Last Hill Walk, yeah?
Yeah.
Really grateful for you to getting in a plug for the book right at the very end. Thanks very much, then, Paul. Okay.
Cheers, John. Well,
that was the amazing Vladimir McTavish. A very funny guy. If you get a chance to see Vladimir on stage, I really think you should really take it. He's and a very generous guy too. He really helped and supported me when I was taking my faltering steps to becoming a comedian. Sadly, the distance between Inverness and the nearest comedy club at the time mitigated against it. But there you go. But you know, I enjoyed it and I got a lot out of the comedy that I did. Even though I've turned my hand now to writing. So let's hope that fairly soon we get out of this virus lockdown, and once again you can see Vladimir McTavish on stage, either in the Edinburgh Fringe or maybe in virtual reality, who knows. So anyway, I've been John Burns. I do hope you've enjoyed my little show. I hope you're not climbing the walls too much in lockdown. This is going to be over soon, and we'll look back and we think, how the bloody hell did we get through that? Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Bye bye.